Hello! You're probably wondering who this is, because you might not remember. But I am, in fact, Ben Heckendorn, and this is the BenHeck.com podcast, episode 48. With me, returning after our long hiatus, is Jason Jones.
Hello, everybody. We are still alive, like GLaDOS.
Well, you said it before I could.
Amazing.
Yeah, well, I guess between Team Trivia, Frisbee Golf, and Possumus Man 2, Possumus Woman, yeah, I haven't really got this thing squirted up, but apparently we're going to have some sponsorship now, so we're probably going to get back to our every other week schedule.
Well, plus we're almost done with Possumus Woman, so that should help immensely.
Yes.
Because that has consumed a good chunk of time, so.
Last night we were discussing how the opening credit or opening title should look, and I definitely like the idea of it saying Possumus Man, and then the W-O kind of appearing in flames.
Yeah.
Slightly across the M. And apparently the whole thing has to burn up. That'll be a little trickier to do, but I like the idea. Yeah, so we've been working on that. So what we thought we would do is, you know, maybe talk about like what games we've been playing and gaming news as usual, but then instead of really a topic, we'll just talk about what we've been doing the last month or so. Kind of the reason why we haven't. So basically, during this podcast, we'll be talking about why we haven't had a podcast and what we've been doing in lieu of it. So it'll be kind of some interesting insight into Possumus Man 2, Possumus Woman, if you're interested. Well, I don't care if you're interested or not. That's what we're going to talk about. Ha ha ha.
I say drop the colon shit. It's just Possumus Woman.
Yeah. Possumus Man 2, Possumus Woman is ridiculous, and I kind of like that, but yeah, I'm probably just going to go with Possumus Woman, which means this movie has the same initials as our last one, PW.
Oh, yes,
confusing.
That's true.
It's very confusing when writing emails. Yeah. Okay, well, games we've been playing.
I haven't been playing too much. I guess I played some Rock Band, of course, because that's just a staple of the diet for the most part.
Well, so. We played it a lot for Jones's divorce party.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, okay, all you ladies out there, now Jones is officially single again, so there you go.
Exciting as that may be for everyone, but yes. So yeah, we got to play some Rock Band, which was fun, and all that good stuff, and other than that, probably played some other games intermittently.
Some beers.
Yeah, I shotgunned my first beer ever, because for those of you who don't know, Jones does not really drink at all.
He speaks of himself in the third person.
Exactly. It's not something I've ever really taken a liking to, and I still haven't, but that's okay. Every now and then, I guess you gotta let your hair down and do something stupid, so I did that. And it was a good time.
You know, I think I'd actually probably drink less if I didn't have any friends at all. Like, between, like, trivia and, like, Tim coming over because of...
Well, yeah, because he'll come over and just be like, Ben, you gotta drink a beer! And all that, you know, so... Like, last night was a good example of that.
Yeah.
Because we watched There Will Be Blood, and... Tim, like, wanted you to shotgun a beer with him or something.
Well, I did. I did definitely go out of my way to drink on Sunday night because, unlike Mike, I didn't have the luxury of drinking all weekend during filming, so...
Yes.
I'm like, oh, man, I'm tired. I'm going to drink, and it was fun. And, I could talk about the dead possum I found.
Oh, there you go. Guerrilla filmmaking at its finest. You didn't actually kill the possum, though, so it was already dead.
Someone else did. Yeah, I mean, I'm not against eating animals and animals dying because I eat meat. But, I wouldn't deliberately shoot a possum just to have a dead one for the movie. But I found a dead one alongside the road, and that's, you know, pre-existing condition that I had nothing to do with.
You stole somebody's job by picking up that possum.
Oh, nobody in Richland County hardly does that anymore. They get like budget cutbacks, remember?
Yeah.
There was like some rumor that instead the DNR introduced turkey vultures into the area. And actually, you know, I actually saw one of those.
Really?
I think it was last week, or like when we were filming or something. It might have been Friday. I'd never actually seen one before. It looks like a looks like a turkey and a vulture.
Hmm.
Turkey vulture.
Interesting.
Anyway... Yeah. So we were on our way. I was on my way back from, you know, filming, and we filmed like all 3 days, like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, partial days of Friday and Sunday. Anyway, there was a dead possum along the road, and I'm like, hey, I've got plastic bags in my car with me. So I grabbed it, and it was a little soft of cheese, but luckily I had, in the movie there's a prop, a can of Possum Be Gone spray, and it's actually just Lysol, so ironically I was able to use that to, cleanse the possum. And then I threw it in some water and filmed it on Sunday night. I don't know how well it's going to turn out. But if I find another dead possum in the next few weeks, I could shoot it again. Well, the reason for that is because we're going near the beginning of Possumus Man. There's a woman on the run from the police.
Hence, Possumus Woman.
Yeah, it's basically like the beginning of Spider-Man 3. I mean, we're not trying to fool anyone.
No.
And she says, they're not going to take me alive. And then she falls in a pond, which has a toxic waste barrel in it and a dead possum, which is why I needed a dead possum stock footage. And that causes her to turn into Possumus Woman. Makes sense to me.
Yeah, it begins like Spider-Man 3 and ends like Terminator.
Well, pretty much the whole movie is like Terminator. But yeah, especially at the end. I mean, so we're actually about... games I've been playing. I guess I haven't really been playing a whole lot. Well, I play... Oh, Braid. We haven't talked about Braid.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty cool.
That whole thing happened. For those of you who haven't heard about Braid, there's a game called Braid. It's B-R-A-I-D, kind of like a braid of someone's hair. And it's interesting. It's kind of like Mario meets Portal in 2D. I don't know how else to really explain it.
Yeah, that's a decent description.
It's a really cool game. It's a little pricey. It's on Xbox Live Arcade. It's like $15, but...
It's pretty cool.
So you, me, and Dave, we should have went three ways on it. That sounds bad. Since we all played it.
That's true. But
oh, well.
I don't know.
Maybe I'll let you or Dave download Portal, still alive.
There you go. Well, see, I downloaded, like, the Who pack for Rock Band and stuff like that, so. Which, that was, like, $20.
Mm.
But, yeah, it was a pretty cool game. I remember when just checked out the demo and stuff, and it's like, wow, this is actually a game that introduces something new into the gameplay experience for once, like the way it plays with time and stuff, and it makes it a component of the gameplay. And one of my favorite things about it was that, like in a lot of games, usually you'll play them and you'll get stuck somewhere, like in a platformer type game, and so, you know, you die, and then you have to start over at some point and get back to where you died and try to pass it again.
Mm-hmm.
And so you, like, waste a bunch of time doing that, where in this game, if you die, you just hit, like, the blue button and it rewinds time back to where you just were. Like, you can rewind it to wherever you want, basically, and then try it again right there.
Yep, so if I miss a jump. And also, it has those worlds, and you have to traverse the worlds, but then, you know, you have to go in and find the puzzle pieces. So if you're kind of stuck on one particular room's puzzle piece, you can just exit and try another room, you know? So
yeah.
It's very gentle that way.
And time works differently in each of the five worlds, and
sometimes
kind of neat.
Some objects aren't affected by time, and then there's one where you have a doppelganger of yourself. If you rewind time, then you stand still and your doppelganger goes forward and does what you did before you rewound time. And all of these things are used in the puzzle. And it's like a time ring, which slows down time faster. Time gets slower the closer it is to the ring, which is interesting. Yeah, it's a really cool game. $15 is... It's probably got about 6 to 7 hours of gameplay, probably something like that.
Which, hell, there's retail games that only take about that long, I guess, if you think about it that way, so.
Right, like Metal Gear Solid, if you skip the cutscenes. So, it's...
Or
if $15 is digestible to you, download it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people that make quality downloadable games like that should be rewarded, you know, in a sea of, like, championship eating and whatnot.
And if you like puzzle games, just pretty much don't even think about it. Just download it.
Yeah, and if you like kind of Super Nintendo era side-scrollers like Mario World or Yoshi's Island, again, just download it. So Braid is cool. I tried that Super Stardust game.
On the PS3, the first one to have trophies.
It's so stupid. Oh, I gotta buy this game! Because it has trophies!
You wouldn't believe how many people buy games just for achievements, like the downloadable games. It's ridiculous, but true. So it doesn't surprise me that that game's sales shot way up when they added trophies to it.
Well, did you say that Lost game on the Xbox was, like, a bargain game now?
Yeah, I know I can...
Is Benry in it?
Yeah, he's in it. I think it's, like... I think it's $30 new, but, like, I can get it off Gamefly for, like, $16 or something used.
Hmm, that might be worth picking up. And you said it's an easy 1,000 achievements?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got it on one playthrough. It probably took me, like, I don't know, 8 hours or something, maybe 10 hours to get them all, so... But it's kind of fun, because it creates this new character, and it basically plays out like... that. It's kind of like how in a season of Lost, like, there'll be, like, you know, 3, maybe 4 Kate episodes, and, you know, 3 Sawyer episodes or something. Like, in the game, you have episodes for this character, so there'll be, like, flashbacks to his life before he was on the island and things. Then you have to run around the island, and you get to go down in the hatch, and...
Yeah, so is it like a Myst kind of game, or...
No.
How does the gameplay work?
It's basically kind of like, you know, in a sandbox game, except it's not really a sandbox. Like, you
don't... Oh, so you do kind of run your character around.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So if you wanted to, like, go up and punch, like, Matthew Fox, you could.
You can't quite do that, unfortunately.
Can you punch? I'm
trying to think...
Are there polar bears?
I think you get to shoot something at some point. I don't think there's any polar bears, but you do get to, like, go in the hatch and you... The alarms go off and you see all the designs on the doors and stuff like that, and a bunch of different shenanigans, and it's kind of cool.
And so are you, like, some random character that shows up for one episode and then there's some diamonds or some bullshit, and then you get buried and never hear from you again?
I think your guy, if I remember right, he's like a photojournalist or something like that. Because, like, one of the gameplay elements is, like, taking pictures of things and stuff like that. So
one thing I want to know, I mean, I really like that show, but there's only one middle-aged woman that was on that plane, apparently.
Oh, Rose?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the only one that survived, anyway.
Still, I mean... I mean, every time I've been on a plane, there's tons of middle-aged women.
Yeah.
And everybody's far, far older than they are on Lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's generally a good mix of people, I would say. It's like...
Because yeah. The last time I was on a plane, I was looking around, and I was like trying to like pick out the characters from Lost, you know?
Yeah.
And there's, you know, there's a few of them, but then I thought, that got me thinking, it's like, yeah, there's always lots of middle-aged women or middle-aged couples on planes, but in Lost, there's only, like, one. Everybody else is, like, unmarried or single or, like...
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's a TV show, but it's kind of lame. It's completely unrealistic. Now, the fact that an island can disappear and move, that makes perfect sense.
Well, of course it does.
Well, anyway, when I found that dead possum, I was kind of thinking of the movie Rob Roy. Remember when he had to hide in a dead buffalo or something?
Yeah.
Or a dead cow. I don't know. Whatever it was dead. It made me think of that.
So you hid in a dead possum?
No, I... No. I mean,
you
if it was like a giant possum, you could hide inside
That's
of it.
That's true. I mean, I've done it, so...
That's true.
Not a real live possum, but I'm the guy in the suit, so... Except for, like, one scene in the movie, it's me all the time, so...
Yeah.
Fun fact.
Yeah, so well, maybe we could talk about, like, achievements for a while, because... So there's some people that are, like, really into that.
Yeah, it's, well, like, for instance, their... EA came out with this live draft tracker thing that's, like, one of the arcade games you can download... All it is something where you can kind of link from your Xbox to, like, EA's fantasy football website and, like, do shit with your fantasy football team. But there's achievements with that, like 200 points worth, because it's an arcade game. There were people who didn't give a rat shit about football or anything, but they went and did all the crap with it just so they could get the 200 points. And then they've got another... EA's got another game like that. It's some other tracker thing, but... It's got stupid achievements, like, one of them is, like, load the game up on a Saturday, or something like that, and you get, like, 50 points or some crap.
Well, what about those lame achievements you showed me in Madden?
Yeah, Madden's achievements this year were really weak. Like, the last couple of years, they had, like, I think 48 and 49 achievements in them. This year, they have, like, 26, and they're just kind of weak. Like, oh, yeah, the two I showed Ben, you get 50 points apiece for these. One of them, all you have to do is go in and create a player called John Madden. All you have to do is just name it John Madden and save it. Bam, 50 points. And then another one, you just put in Bones Jackson for the guy's name, and you have to make sure he's on the Chicago Bears, and then save that. You don't have to set up the character beyond that. 50 points. So just like that, you get 100 points.
Wow. What about Avatar, The Last Airbender? I mean, I saw a YouTube video of that. That has to be about the easiest.
Yeah, from what I've read, that's, like, notoriously the easiest 1,000-point game. You can
just kind of sit there and, like, you can stand in one place and hit soldiers that keep respawning over and over. It takes, like, 3 minutes, and you have 1,000 points.
Yeah, basically you just keep doing, like, this combo move. I think it's, you get, there's only, like, 5 achievements in the game, and they're all, like, based on, you know, like, get 10 combo kills, 20 combo kills, 50, 100, whatever it is. So you just keep doing this move in this one spot, and you can get the full 1,000 in, like, under 5 minutes, I guess. Because right, it's, like, so right at the beginning of the game that you can do
you
it.
You get it from Netflix. A mailman could drop it off.
Gamefly,
whatever. You could sit there and beat it, get the achievements, and, like, maybe the mailman's, like, 2 houses down.
Yep.
You could run and give it back to him.
Yep. But, yeah, so that's, like, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of weird. I mean, I kind of understand it to some extent. You know, like, achievements are kind of fun to get, and they are strangely
addicting. Oh, yeah, you feel
addicting.
Like you've really done something.
And they help add, you know, kind of replay value to some games, because there's, you know, sometimes it's like, well, yeah, I could go back through the game and, you know, get that achievement the next time, you know. And
well, there's kind of, like, thresholds. Like, remember that one day I was, like, playing Pac-Man, and I was like, oh, I got to get past 4,200
mm-hmm.
or something like that, and I think I did.
Yeah.
Or, like, I suppose now, like, my new thing would be to, like, to get to 5,000. But
yeah, there's some where I, you know, some games seem to do a really good job with them, and other ones, they do a really shitty job. So, you know, like that Avatar one, you know, obviously, shitty job, although maybe they figured nobody'd want to play the game more than 5 minutes, so they'd put all 1,000 points right up front, but
do you know M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong is making a movie based off that
based
thing?
Based on that, yeah. I've really, it's sad. He was, like, one of my favorite filmmakers out of, like, the new crowd, but he's really fallen off the horse.
And a cherry tree.
Yeah.
Well, one game I think that where the achievements are really cool is Oblivion.
Yeah.
All you have to do is everything. I know that sounds stupid, but
yeah, you basically you play through the game, you know,
and then
you
play through all the guilds.
Yeah, and you get the stuff, and yeah, I think that's good. Like BioShock's got pretty good achievements. Because they've got a couple of pretty, you know, kind of tougher ones to get, but for the most part, you can get them by playing through the game, or, you know, you got to go through it and collect all of the audio diaries or something, but it's nothing, like, super ridiculous. Where some of these games, like Gears of War, like, I thought the multiplayer in it sucked anyways, but, like, one of the achievements is called Seriously, and you have to get 10,000 kills in that game. I can't even imagine how long it would take to get 10,000 kills, even if you're really good, because the matches are only, I think you can only have up to 8 people in the matches, so it's usually like 4-on-4. You know, you can get like a few kills in a match, usually. So it's like, you'd have to play just thousands of matches to get up to 10,000 kills.
Yeah, there's probably 2 schools of thought. Like, some people are like, oh, the achievement should be difficult, otherwise they wouldn't be achievements.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the other hand, it's like, you know, I paid for this game. You know, give me some achievements. You know, if even playing through a game, if you just kind of play through most games, it's like usually like, what, like 300 maybe?
Yeah.
Even like stuff like, I played the hell out of like Rock Band. I think you only have 350.
Yeah, no, like, yeah, like I've played Rock Band a lot, and I think I've got 240 on it. But so, that's because I don't have any, like, I haven't been able to play Band World Tour that much with mine, of course, because you have to have more than one person.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that one's fairly stingy. Like, Guitar Hero 3 is, like, ridiculously difficult. It's, like, I think I've got 130 or 140 points in that. And it's, like, I'm not that bad at those games. Like, Guitar Hero 2,
I
got,
I still haven't beat that game. I mean, I guess it wouldn't take me that long. I should just do that some night.
Like, I guess a good example is Guitar Hero 2, I got 550 in. Guitar Hero 3, I've got, like, 140. And they made, like, stupid achievements for that one where it was, like, beat some song on expert using the standard controller. So, like, using the regular old Xbox controller, it's like, what the fuck is the point of that? It's just... it's like, isn't the whole point of the game to be using the plastic guitar to play it?
So, here's a question. Like, of all the Xbox games that you've beaten, which do you think is the stingiest on achievements?
Like, for ones that I've gotten the full 1,000, or just...
Well, no, just, like, just games you've played through... And then you only have like 100 points even though you beat the game, that kind of stuff. Like,
I'd probably say Guitar Hero 3 actually is probably the stingiest that I've played. Because like Bioshock, I think after I beat that the first time, I had... God, I think I had like 700 some, or, you know, 600-700. Call of Duty...
Play through that on the Xbox.
Call of Duty 3 and 4 were reasonably stingy. I think, like, Call of Duty 4, I think I only got, like, 300-some, and I went through and beat the campaign on whatever, like, the regular difficulty is, and I think Call of Duty 3, I've got, like, a little over 300 in that.
That's one thing I liked about Halo 3. I mean, if you played co-op and stuff, you get... That's probably, besides Oblivion, that's probably the game I have the most achievement points in. I probably have, like, at least 750.
Yeah, that one did a good job, because it gives out... achievements pretty like for each difficulty level beating the campaign, but then it also has like the skull stuff, and then it has some co-op achievements, or not co-op, like multiplayer achievements. I was actually surprised when they announced the achievements for that game, and most of them were like weighted towards the campaign, where I expected it to be more like multiplayer, since that's
but
what
the
it
campaign
was known for.
Can be multiplayer, which was a great feature of that game.
Yeah, but yeah. Like, probably one of the most satisfying achievements I've ever gotten would be in Call of Duty 2 when I beat that on Veteran. Because you get, like, all the achievements in that game if you go through it on Veteran.
Oh, and, really?
Yeah, and beating that one was pretty satisfying. Because it was, like, just the right amount of difficulty in that game that it was, like, a pain in the ass in some spots, but it didn't get to the point where you were, like, you know, screw this, and threw the controller down and didn't want to play it anymore. It's like you'd get, you know, just close enough that you're like, oh, if I can just, you know, do this a little differently next time, I can get by. And so that one was pretty cool when I got the full 1,000. And then there's like a FIFA soccer game where this one achievement was like worth 500 points, but it was for beating all of the scenarios in it. And like the last three or four scenarios in that one were like ridiculously hard. So that was pretty sweet to get that one too. But yeah, I don't quite get buying games just to get the achievements in them. I mean, I guess that's what, like, Gamefly is for or something. You know, if you're like, oh, what the hell, I'll get Avatar and get the 1,000 points. You know, you can get it through it and then send it back, you know, right away and get something else.
That's lame.
But I can't see, you know, dropping... $20 or $30, even if it's, you know, had the price knocked down, just to, you know, buy that for 5 minutes.
So in that Lost game, when it has a flashback, does it have, like, the sound effects, you know, like, you know?
I think it does. It's kind of neat, because you'll go into the flashback, then there's, like, certain things you gotta do in the flashback, and that kind of helps flesh out the story, of course, of the character, and...
Does it reveal anything about the main plot line at all? Like,
a little bit, yeah. There's some things that could be kind of inferred from it, I think. Which is kind of
neat. Fight Benry?
God, I don't think you actually fight him. I'm trying to remember what all you actually have to do. I know you get to, like, go and push the button on the computer and, you know, do
Yay!
That crap. You gotta run around the island and find some stuff and...
Gotta find a hippie van.
You do get to talk to Hurley.
Yes!
And Sawyer.
This sounds like the best game ever. The only thing better would be a Wimbledon game.
It would be cool if they'd make a Lost game where it was like truly like a sandbox game, or even, you know, like maybe... I mean, they could make like a Lost MMO almost, you know? Not that I've ever really played one of those types of games, but it seems like it could lend itself to it in a way.
I was reading an article, I think it was with someone at id, and they were talking about, you know, id's making console games now because the PC game market has been going down steadily since like 1999, and One of the theories is that so many people play World of Warcraft and just don't buy any other games.
Yeah, it could be, because isn't their subscriber base up to around 10 million now or something like that? Isn't it like $15 a month to play that?
Yeah, I think so.
So just think of that. It's like $150 million every
right, and all
month.
That game is not going to other PC games.
Yeah, but damn. Talk about printing money. I mean, granted, they got to have a lot of infrastructure in place and stuff to handle that, but $150 million a month just in subscriber fees.
I don't
is
get
pretty...
that game. Like, some of the people on YouTube make like videos of them imitating the dances and
yeah.
What WTF?
Yeah, it's like I was saying the other night when we were here, and like a few of the guys that were here, they were watching some YouTube video of World of Warcraft or something, and Ben and I were just sitting here like looking at each other like, what the hell are they even talking about? Like, we were just completely clueless, and I was like, wow, this must be what it's like to be around me when I'm talking about Star Wars.
Yeah, like when you get that trivia question exactly right.
Yeah. But it was, yeah, it was interesting to not be the biggest geek in the room for once. It was kind of strange.
Yeah, I just don't understand that game.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose it's great if you're into it and stuff and you don't buy anything else, because then I guess if you look at it like, well, you pay $15 a month to play this game all year long, so that's, you know, what, $180 for a year? So that's like three 360 games or something. So, I mean, you might almost save money if you're a gamer.
Possibly.
Doing that, but...
Then it runs on any shitty computer.
Yeah. Which is probably, I'm sure it's a big part of its success.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. Any game where you have to, like, commit yourself to it that much seems, like, kind of overkill to me, but...
Well, you want to talk about Possumus Man 2, Possumus Woman?
Sure. Well, there was some interesting Rock Band news that I'll bring up quick. They have a new album coming out today called Moving Pictures by Rush, and it is the first time that there will be a song in the game that's just an instrumental, so they actually cut the vocals out of a song, finally.
Mm.
And then also on that album, there's a song that's 11 minutes long, so that will be like the longest song in the game now. So it's kind of interesting.
Until they have a Meatloaf album.
Yeah. But I thought it was cool that they broke the seal on... the instrumentals and stuff, because that makes Metallica's Master of Puppets album possible now, because they have a song from it on Rock Band 2 called Battery, but then there's a instrumental on that album called Orion, which is like one of my favorite songs ever. So now that instrumentals are a possibility, maybe that whole album will come along someday, because I know a lot of people would like to get that one. And they also re-released in that album Tom Sawyer and Limelight, which Tom Sawyer was on Rock Band 1's disc as a cover, and then Limelight was DLC that was a cover before, but now they've got the master tracks.
Hmm.
So.
Is Rock Band 2 all master tracks?
Yes, yeah, the whole thing is. And then when that comes out, like, there's supposed to be like 84 songs on disc for that, I think, but then they're also going to have an additional 20 songs available for download for free when it comes out, I guess.
Oh, and the nominal fee to transfer the songs is like $5.
$5 or something. I guess they said no more than $5,
which
but
means
it'll
be
like $4.99.
400 Microsoft points, I'm sure.
Yeah, or $4.99 on PS3 or whatever.
Well, they said it's actually kind of like an extended licensing fee.
Yeah. Which I can...
It probably just means they have... probably for some legal reason, they probably have to pay the licensees of the first game's music some nominal fee.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Even if it's just like a cent. But they have to pay them something extend the license. I'm sure that's what that is.
Yeah, it's interesting that they... I suppose, you know, when they made Rock Band, they maybe didn't grasp how popular it would be. You know, but it's interesting that they licensed... the on-disc songs for that game different than the DLC songs. Because, like, all the DLC is going to transfer right into Rock Band 2 without any issue.
It probably has something to do with physical media rights versus downloadable media rights, and there's all sorts of legal
some sort
reasons.
Of horseshit.
None of which I know about specifically, but none of which would surprise me.
Yeah.
You know, because, like, the ones that are on the disc are probably, you know, pertain to, like, physical media rights, and downloadable ones are probably different, so...
And from what I've read, you're supposed, when you do your import from Rock Band 1 into Rock Band 2 of the songs, supposedly you can, like, pick the songs that you want to bring over.
Oh, good.
So that means, goodbye, Blitzkrieg Bop.
And Highway Star. Fuck Highway Star.
Goodbye, Ballroom Blitz. Fuck off. And Sabotage 2. I hate all of you.
Oh, but there's a new Beastie Boys song in the new one.
Yeah, which one was that? It's one that I've actually heard.
I think it's So What You Want.
Oh, yeah, where they go, So what you want, want? Yeah. Still lame because it's the Beastie Boys, but what the hell.
But they have Hungry Like the Wolf.
But yeah. So that's kind of nice if that's true, that you can selectively, like, delete songs that are despised.
I think there are probably several I would, like, not transfer on mine. Like
Dead or Alive.
Dead or Alive, Won't Get Fooled Again. I'm just sick of them. Yeah, Dead or Alive pissed me off. Because it's, like, one of the lamest Bon Jovi songs. It's also the only Bon Jovi song anyone ever karaoke. So I was sick of it even before I played Rock Band.
Well, but at least it's good they put it in the game, you know, because, hey,
it's
like
a
song
ridiculously
that people do
simple
sing.
Song to play.
Yeah. Yeah, God, the bass on that song doesn't even start for, like, a minute and a half or 2 minutes. It's,
I don't think
like,
the drums
ridiculous.
Do either. No, the drums are actually the first thing. Well, what's that other song? Living on a Prayer, that's in the new one,
that's
right?
That's in the new one.
So that's better.
Yeah.
Yes, so Rock Band. All
good
right.
Times.
So shall we now talk about Posthumous Man 2, : Posthumous Woman?
No, : fuck that, it's Posthumous Woman.
So what shall we talk about?
It's not Die Hard 2, Die Harder.
Yes! One of my favorite movies. Did you see, I finally got Facebook, but anyone listening to this podcast, it's irrelevant because I only put my real-life friends on it, so sorry, nothing personal.
What an asshole.
But anyway, what? It's otherwise it's useless. It'll be like my Xbox Live friends list. It's like, wow,
shit.
I have 100 friends on here. Only 5 of which I know. It's like lame.
And of 2 of which you probably ever play games with on there or something, so.
I don't even play on that anymore. My subscription lapsed.
Oh, that's right.
It's interesting seeing the things you can't do. Like, on the online, you know, the web browser version of it, you can't reply to messages using that. Yeah. If you don't have gold, lame.
Hey, that's sweet. There should be things that gold members get to do that silver don't.
Gold members.
There is a shitty movie.
There's another thing we haven't done in a while, shitty movie night.
Yes. I can't wait till the Netflix thing goes live on the 360, because I was looking through the on-demand, and there's some quality shit out there to be watched.
Yes.
Like, I think The Core was out there, and Ice Pirates, and I'm sure there were many others. I think I put a few of them on my
queue. Is that streaming Netflix going to have HD, though?
No. But oh well. When you're watching shit, who cares?
Like Street Fighter?
Yeah.
Street Fighter was awesome.
It stepped it up towards the end. It was kind of weak for a good chunk of it, but it brought it in like the final 20 minutes. And then, of course, after the credits was its
yes!
finest moment.
Yeah, it's because through the whole end, I'm like, oh man, it'd be so cool if M. Bison's hand shot out of a pile of rubble, and the credits started rolling, and everyone was like, Ben, I don't think it's going to happen. I'm like, no, I have faith. And then sure enough, after the credits,
yep, there it
happens.
It was awesome. Then it's like, why couldn't the whole movie be like this?
Well, the last, like, 15 or 20 minutes was pretty shitty. But, yeah. You know, it wasn't, I mean, it showed, like, how the characters got their scars, and, you know, I mean, it wasn't the worst movie.
Yeah.
If you follow Street Fighter, it's a fucking video game, but, you know, if you're familiar with it, I guess. If you follow Street Fighter,
you get
Street
to see
M.
Bison
like it's on
fly around.
Anyway, I think I'm going to have that burning hand come out of rubble at the end of Posthumous Man, you remember? But then it, like, falls back down, so it's like, oh, we got it. That's after the truck goes off the cliff, of course.
Ah, yes. Okay, so Posthumous Woman.
Yeah, Posthumous Woman is basically intended to be a shitty movie. It's just supposed to be dumb and fun. Like Jessica Simpson, apparently.
And I think we're succeeding.
Right. It's like we can try to make it a... See, I don't think what anyone remembers is that the first Pasta's Made movie, I think originally we wanted it to be, like, suspenseful or good, and obviously we did not succeed. So this time it's like, fuck it. Like, we have, like, the possum drinking a spray of blood.
Yeah.
There's a part where he drank a Busch Light, even though that got
Yeah,
cut.
That'll be in the deleted scenes, because we couldn't use it for plot reasons, ironically enough.
Well, I mean, the movie is...
It's actually
it's put together well,
good.
But it's ridiculous.
Yeah, for being a giant killer possum movie, I think it's going to be pretty good. Like, it flows pretty well.
It'll be entertaining.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
it's basically the polar opposite of Port Washington, because that movie, it was, like, scripted, storyboarded to death, very rigid in how we went about doing it, very complex. This one...
Which I think is one of the reasons it took so long to do.
Yeah, where this one, we've just got, like, a couple, or a few pages of outline.
16 pages.
Okay, but then we just, you know, have a framework, basically, to operate within, you know, 90% of the dialogue's ad-libbed. And we just kind of go for it. And if we think of something that would be amusing to put in the movie, we try to figure out if we can shove it in there somewhere.
Right. It'll be like, oh, I know. Instead of shooting an arrow at the possum, let's duct tape a grenade to it and shoot it at him. And then there'll be like a pause and I'll think about it. And then most ideas, I'm like, yeah, sure. Why not?
It's a giant possum movie.
I was disappointed that I forgot the chainsaw, but I think for the possum cat fight, what we did instead was pretty funny.
I think it worked pretty well, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, basically, yeah, there's no script because Mike Adsit, who's not listening to this podcast, I'm sure, is kind of the prima donna this time, where he's like, "Oh, I'll only help if there's no script," and I'm like, "Well, at first I was like no, but then I was kind of warmed up to the idea." And then I remember, we were grilling out one day on the porch, and we came up with a whole outline for the movie in
like
maybe
2 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next, we were just like, well, okay, we have this scene, we have to get there somehow. And then
yep.
We just kind of slapped some shit together.
And it's kind of interesting in movies where, like, you'll have scenes you want to do, and then for some reason, they just won't happen.
Yeah.
Like, in the original, well, we've actually. Since Possum Man 1 was made in 1995, we've actually... This is at least the second time we've tried to make a sequel. We actually tried to make a sequel in 1997. And then we talked about it earlier this spring. And then that was when Mike was like, oh, no, if it's a script, I'm not involved. Because, quote, I don't want to waste my whole summer. I'd rather play Call of Duty all summer. And
actual dialogue.
Yeah. But then it's like, oh, well, we're going to have a scene where Ben should be on a four-wheeler giving a Braveheart-like speech. Well, not just Braveheart, like all these fucking movies, like
yeah,
Lord of the Rings. It's like, so I'm like, well, instead of like a person going back and forth on a horse, let's have someone on a four-wheeler. But then it turned out we couldn't get that into the movie. But then I realized, well, wait a minute. We'll have the possumatologist woman do it. And so we were able to get it back in the movie and... That was pretty funny. I mean, we were able to loop the dialogue, obviously, because she was running around on a four-wheeler.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, it'll be funny. Yeah, I don't know. It's just been very liberating the way we've done it, I guess I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, because generally what'll happen, well, like this past weekend, for instance, we filmed this sequence where the possum is, of course, getting shot at by a bunch of people, and then it has to kill all of them.
Yeah.
Well, going into that, we just knew we were going to have a bunch of people shooting at the possum, but then we hadn't really thought much about how it was going to kill anybody. So just on the spot, we came up with, like, deaths and the people that were getting killed. We were like, well, come up with ideas for how to die, and, you know, we just winged it, and within, you know, an hour, two, whatever, we had it all shot. So.
You see, one thing I think I do that probably pisses people off on this movie... is I'll be like, think of what you want to do.
Yeah.
And the reason I do that is because I'm usually filming something.
Yeah.
And I just don't have the time to, like, think ahead.
Yeah.
I mean, since there's no script, you know, it's up to other people. It's up to people to, like, you know, figure out stuff on the fly. And
yeah. Yeah, but, I don't know. I don't mind that. I think it's kind of cool.
Oh,
it's just kind of
okay.
Like, I don't know how other people feel, I guess, but...
Well, I mean, like, when we're doing, like, the stuff on Saturday night, it's like, we've got a bunch of people lying around. Everyone might as well be doing something, you know?
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, we had a shit ton of people there on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm sure that's... Yeah, that was easily the most people we've ever had in one scene or one day. I mean, that was like, what, like...
We had at least 16 people, I counted up in my head.
Really?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
It's pretty crazy.
Well, like, when we were moving the lights around, it went pretty well.
Yeah.
So...
So Megan didn't have to freeze for too long.
Oh, no, a toxic waste barrel. I'm only affected by it once I notice it.
That worked really good, though, like, edited together, because she's just kind of, like, starting to get out, and then she's like,
and flies backwards. Of course, it's supposed to be, like, the end of Terminator 2, where he's getting melted.
Yep, thrashing around.
Pretty much this whole movie is just a ripoff of Terminator. Although, we did finally use the tail. The original idea, yes. I was like, oh, there should be like a spiky ball on the end of the possum's tail or something, and we never got around to that because we made the tail about 1 hour before we started filming with the costume.
Yeah, and I wasn't a big fan of the spiky thing anyway, so...
But what we did do was one of the shooters is sneaking up on the possum, like, kill somebody else, and the tail comes up and wraps around the guy's neck and strangles him, and... What we did was we did reverse motion where the tail's already wrapped around his neck. It's pulled free, and then he, like, sneaks up in reverse, and it worked. Yeah. Yeah, I love reverse motion. Like,
yeah, we've done a little bit of that in this movie.
Yeah, like the grenade on the arrow was reverse motion, and
there
was some other stuff, wasn't there?
Seems like it.
I know there hasn't been a whole lot, but it's fun to do. I mean, any chance to do it, I'll do it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not all... There's not much left to film. I mean, one gag we've talked about doing that we haven't been able to do yet is a possum hanging upside down in a tree and coming down by his tail and breaking someone's neck or something.
I think we'll get that, though, in this weekend or whenever.
Right.
We won't really show it, I suppose, but that's what's going
to happen. We only really have two scenes left to film. We have the scene kind of near the beginning where a bunch of random campers get killed, and you're not really going to see the possum for that, so it's going to be like... people getting sucked underwater or like...
I just think we'll have the person get like snatched up into the air for that or something, and that'll be like the possum in the tree thing.
I'll have to figure out how to do that then.
Yeah.
So I'm open to ideas.
Maybe that could be reverse motion as well.
But their feet would have to like leave the ground.
Yeah.
Well, of course what we could do is we could have someone on a stepladder perhaps and jump down to the ground. And then, like, walk away. Yeah. So reverse motion would be like they're walking backwards, and then they get snatched up.
Yeah.
There, I just figured it out. Swish. Okay.
See, reverse motion is your friend.
I love reverse motion. And it works great, because if you're using progressive scan, like we are, you don't have to worry about the fields inverting or any of that bullshit. Oh, and then we drove a truck through a wall of fire, or Brad did, more specifically.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of cool, like, in this movie... Because we were talking about doing Jack Kirby Alien Hunter for a while, but I thought, hey, let's just film something this summer that's easy to do, and the only thing we could do that quickly would be bullshit like Possum Man 2, but we... That said, the movie... I noticed someone commented on my site, like, oh, well, if the most complicated scene is this still frame, well, I guess, what does that say about the movie? But the stuff on Possum Man, I mean, we've gotten it done fairly well, but it's not
super simple.
Yeah, some of it has been kind of, I guess, I don't know what the word is.
Well, we had the truck fight scene, but that was kind of interesting to do. Like,
and it wasn't that hard to do, it just we had to do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you have, like, two trucks and they have to match speed and the camera's on one, it's not like you just go out there and click on a mouse.
Yeah. Oh, and, you know, dragging you behind the truck and lots of...
That was fun.
Neat stuff, and throwing people out of vehicles, and...
Yeah, it's kind of funny, like, Port Washington was a romantic comedy that had, I think, 220 special effects shots, and...
this is like an action killer possum movie.
Yeah, Possumus Man, I've got the files right here. Possumus Man, with about 85% of it edited, has 22 special effects shots. That's it. And maybe 30 by the time it's done, because a lot of the stuff, like the wall, like... The possum getting burned at the end. There are going to be some special effects there, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, most of it, we've just been doing it live. Like when the possum's being shot up, we made a torso of foam, filled it with blood packs, which, as we feared, didn't really show up because the bullets just kind of just ripped right through it. But we made a torso, we put it on a cart, we had fishing wire to animate the arms, the jaw was animated, and, I mean, animated by string, not by computer, and then we pulled it toward the people and they shot the hell out of it. You know, it's just all real, you know? So, and it's been fun.
Yeah.
Like, the spiky log thing, we had to use a blue screen for that, but that actually worked out pretty good, so that's all right.
But we did the spiky log for real, like, flaming spiky log.
Yeah,
the trees.
Flaming part, because I have to admit, I believe that was my input. Originally, it was going to be a spiky log, like a log with a whole bunch of holes drilled on in it with spiky logs stuck into that, kind of like something from Predator. And it swings in a tree. And then I'm like, hey, let's have it on fire. So not only does that mess up the lighting, but it also makes it on fire, dangerous, and then it burned the ropes that were holding it. You could get a couple swings before it burned. But it looks cool.
Yeah.
Then originally the log was going to swing past the camera, then we're going to get like another take of the possum reacting to it and then do like a split. But the log being on fire causes the lighting to change throughout the scene, so it was hard to do the split, so I actually had to do a blue screen. But I made it work. Or, like, actually, Mike and I were discussing, like, when we see the barrel of toxic waste sink, that's going to be a special effect, and I actually could, like, film that this week. Because it would be easier to do a special effect of a barrel sinking underwater and getting distorted and fading to black than it would be to try to set up the camera over an area that's deep enough, pointing straight down, sink the barrel, and then most importantly, retrieve it.
Yeah.
Whereas, I already figured how I'm going to do it. I'm going to take your card table, set it in the garage, put the camera at such an angle that it's pointing directly across the card table so that you can't see the surface of it. You know, it's like directly on it. Then I'll roll the barrel away from the camera and the card table against the blue screen. So all you see is blue around the barrel and like just then mat off the table.
Okay.
And then get a shot of water so the barrel's like rolling away, a.k.a. sinking. Then I'll distort it, change the opacity, use a wave effect, and then I think there might even be a bubble generator in After Effects and then sink it.
Nice.
Yeah, so, but whenever possible, yeah, we've been trying to do everything for real because it's simple, and Port Washington took forever, and I think probably the biggest delay on Port Washington was probably getting the music done.
Yeah,
I think we probably lost at least a year on that.
Yeah, that took a long time. But then when you just finally decided to do it yourself, it took like a month or two.
Well, I know other people had helped too.
I know.
Well, actually, I should talk to Mary because Mary's brother is... He should have that disc now.
Yeah.
One other thing is, like, this movie, I really don't even care if it's releasable, so if I feel like using a Faith No More song in a scene, then I just do. Who cares? Because, I mean, think about it. Like, all these other movies we've done, you know, we try to make it all releasable and blah, 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 and no one ever cares, so fuck it. I mean, I'm just making this movie for fun.
Yeah, in Port Washington, we had that same issue, because we had the, what was it, Journey song, or... What was that, Foreigner, or who was it?
And I think they were, like, a little too long to be considered fair use.
Yeah.
But the thing is, we were all worried about that, but this time I'm like, who cares? So, like, if we have rednecks in the woods, like, trashing the place, which is one of the scenes in the movie, I'm going to play AC/DC. Who cares? One thing we've done right, we have... Because you know one thing about making a movie releasable, you're supposed to have production photos. We've got shit tons of those.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been doing pretty good with that.
Yeah, I'd like to see Jesse's, because Jesse had that nice camera. He took quite a few.
Yeah.
I got all paranoid, and I'm like, we're shooting at night. If I see any flashes go off, I will kill people.
Yeah, especially for the wall of fire and for Megan jumping in the water, like those two sequences. It's like, well, Megan will probably kill you.
Megan will kill you, and then I will come and piss on your corpse. Yeah, because we had this scene where the convict woman... Well, I secretly like torturing people in movies, and I don't care if they're male or female.
Hey, and, hey, I have proof. He hit me in the head with a propane tank, so, you know.
That's true. Actually, I think I'm actually going to have like a bit of a scar here, and that's for when I rolled down the hill by the dead hunter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's like a spot in my freckle, so...
Nice.
It's not... I actually have a better scarf. Actually, no, that Port Washington one. That the elbow scar isn't too bad, but my elbow is still fucked up. There's always something. I got one here. You can't really see it in this light, but that's from Adventure. Remember that six-wheel vehicle
mm-hmm.
in Adventure? That thing was really fun. But it had this thing where it was like a choke or there's something we had to like reach around and push something in the engine to make it either stop or start.
Okay.
And I got myself on the muffler and I
got a scar burned
from that.
Yeah. Hey, it's like mementos from every movie.
I don't think I have any scars from Lizard of Death, though.
Well, that's because you weren't really in it. That's probably why.
Well, I filmed it, though.
I know. Well, yeah, I suppose in Port Washington you got injured when you weren't in the scene because it was falling between the rocks with the camera.
I kind of thought about that. remember, like, the first day we filmed in Port Washington, like, we were trying to find Michelle and Derek because my cell phone was destroyed.
Yeah.
And they opened up the elevator door, and I was sitting there, and I was all wet, and I was bleeding. It's like, hi, welcome to my movie.
They're probably like, yeah. What the hell?
And then I kind of thought about that on Sunday because we have Derek Novi from Port Washington, who was the lead hero guy or whatever. He has a cameo in this movie as a redneck, and yeah, it's amazing how much of a redneck he makes, because he certainly isn't a redneck, but he really makes a good one.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Anyway, so he pulls up, and I'm sitting there pulling a toxic waste barrel out of the back of my car, and I'm like, welcome back! But anyway, so when we had the scene where the fugitive woman has to, I'm like, oh, let's have her jump in a, I think in the outline it says a puddle of toxic waste. But then there's this, like, this pond that was at my cousin's house, and it's really slimy and gross. And I'm like, let's have her jump in that. And then there was this running debate as to whether she'd do it or not. And remember, Mike kept saying she wouldn't do it.
And me and you were both like, no, she'll do it.
Yeah, and she did. Yeah. I should have bet Mike on that, actually.
Yeah, that would have been easy money.
Yeah, so...
I was talking to her, like, before she did it, and she's like, God, I really don't want to do this. And I was just like, kind of like, yeah. And then she, really quick, though, she was like, but I'll do it, you know, and all that. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, I didn't really doubt it, you know, but this is kind of funny.
Right, that's why I'm like, nobody use any flash photography during this scene.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, yeah, there's nothing wrong with people standing around taking pictures, but obviously flash photography would show up.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
And plus, that was not a pleasant thing to do, so we wanted her to get in the water and get out as quickly as possible and get her jumping in one take, obviously. And
right, so we had, like, you know, certain people, like, okay, as soon as we need to move the lighting, you know, we need to move it.
Yeah. And it went pretty quick. I mean, she wasn't in there
any... Maybe, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah, it was pretty fast. So.
But then we got, like, what, 4 angles of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like, okay, move the lights! Go, 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 go! Move, 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 move! I think that's probably about the only time I've actually gotten kind of like... I wasn't angry, but I was being very forceful.
Yeah.
Because I know, I think I've probably mellowed out since Port Washington. I've been pretty mellow in this movie, I think.
Yeah,
would you say?
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
But yeah, for that one, I had to be pretty forceful, because...
That was good, though. People jumped up and grabbed the lights and moved
them.
Yeah,
yeah. So. Yeah, so, the moral of the story is...
Be forceful when you need to be, I guess. Then people will respond.
It's kind of like telling the truth. Like, you should always tell the truth. So then, if you have to lie, people will still believe you. That's what I do.
It's a good policy.
Well, because if you always lie, no one believes you. So why even open your mouth?
That's true.
It's been fun. And Derek didn't believe me, but unless I die, my computer explodes, an asteroid hits Verona... I don't really see any reason why we couldn't have it done by Halloween.
Oh my god, he said it in public.
There, I did it, yep.
Finally.
You know how far the editing is. I mean, I have to do like a sound pass.
Yeah, and you gotta do like sound effects and things, but still, if we just take a weekend and like do sound effects and like make them or whatever, you know, if you want to make some new ones.
There's a few 5.1 mixing issues I have to figure out. It's just technical stuff.
Yeah. But yeah, it's like mostly edited. Like, pretty much everything we filmed, you know, probably, what, 85% of that is actually edited now?
Yeah, because usually what happens, if we have, like, a weekend of filming, I'll be really tired on Monday and I won't feel like working, so I'll just edit the movie, because it's not very exerting. So that's what I did yesterday. And
it's fun.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of the stuff is pretty easy to do. I mean, like, last Wednesday, we filmed the... very beginning of the movie, which actually takes place in 1958, And we spent like 45 minutes doing the scene. Then I came back here and I immediately edited it. And it was like, you know, maybe 4 hours of work and bam, it was done.
Yeah.
So it's not too difficult. And like, I'm only going to loop dialogue if I absolutely have to.
Yeah.
I mean, there might be...
like the Jody stuff.
The Jody on the four-wheeler had to be looped. I still haven't decided if I'm going to like use your growling as the possum or have Megan do something. I don't know. But
yeah.
Again, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, I think Brad asked me that over the weekend, what we were going to do for the growling, and I was like, ah, it's still up in the air.
Well,
be one or the other, basically, and then you'll probably distort it in the computer a bit anyways, I would imagine.
The issue is, if I remove your growling, I've got to replace room tones and make it match. So what I'd probably do is maybe have Megan growl and just kind of layer it over your growling.
Yeah.
I don't know. Most of the time, if the possum is ambling around, it's not a big deal to remove the background audio, but probably the difficult stuff will probably be the scene where you're fighting Mike in the barn.
That's a hell of a scene. Just wait till all of you out there see it. It's a good time.
My favorite part still, actually it's in that scene, is when Mike hits it with the riding lawnmower and squishes it against the column, yeah. And the possum falls down kind of like stunned on the hood of the mower.
Yep.
The Mike runs away and thinks it's all right. And then you see the possum later on the mower and his eyeball turns on because the eyeballs glow red.
Yeah.
That's my favorite part.
Yeah, that part's fun.
Although the possum like eating Jody was pretty good too. Because I had an extra pump laying around from a leftover laptop project, like a 12-volt pump. And I'm like, well, this thing costs $100. I should use it. So I hooked it up to a cigarette lighter adapter, and I made this really cheap, easy pump. So you push the switch, and like it was like about two, and then 2 seconds later, it pumps. So yeah. That way, you know, we can make people squirt blood if we want, and also the possum has blood tubes in the head, so you can actually make blood come out of either side of its mouth. So we just hooked up blood tubes for that, so as it's biting people, it can, like, make blood for it. So there was one shot where not only do we have the blood pump going through the possum's mouth, but we had the... it can also blow smoke through its nose. So we had blood and smoke coming out of the possum at the same time while it was chewing on someone. It was awesome. So we've got to film some stuff in Milwaukee this weekend, and then an office scene,
yeah.
And then a filler scene, like Shitty Groundskeeper, which apparently we're going to do tomorrow. And then I think next week we got to like just do some fire effects, and that's it. The movie will be done. So, yeah. So how have you felt about the production so far, like compared to Port Washington? I mean, it's certainly been easier.
Oh, yeah, it's fun. It's like, yeah, it's, you know, there's times where it's probably kind of like, it'd be nice if we had a script, you know, but, you know, I don't know, it's, for the most part, it's been a lot of fun, you know, but there's times where it's kind of like, oh, okay, well, what the hell do we need to accomplish in the scene, or, you know, what are we trying to do, and, you know, I think it's, like you said, liberating to have it how this one is, but I think in some ways it'd be nice to find, like, a happy medium between, like, you know, the two extremes of Port Washington and then this movie.
Well, there's some scenes that have been storyboarded,
yeah,
actually.
Like the truck battle.
Two.
But, yeah, I mean, overall it's been fun. You know, I mean, it is fun to just, you know, like, when we were out there filming that sequence on Saturday, I mean, you knew you wanted certain shots of the shooters and stuff, but then after that it was like, okay, we just need to kill these people, so figure it out, you know, and...
And I
things
I,
like that.
I hadn't thought about it at all because I figured we'd just figure it out on the day. And
yeah, I hadn't thought about it much either, really. So I was like, oh, shit, we've got like 7 people that need to die here.
Well, for instance, but that office scene that we probably need to film this week, if we can figure out... Because Dale has that surgery thing on Thursday, but I would think by Friday afternoon he'd probably be okay.
What's he got going on?
He has his oral surgery on Thursday. So I wouldn't ask him to do anything on Thursday, but I bet on Friday he might be okay if we could like maybe get something figured out with Brad.
Yeah.
For that scene, for instance, since that's in the beginning of the movie and is a part where the current resort owner is briefed on the situation, we probably will have to think of certain bullet points that need to be addressed in that scene.
Yeah, because it's basically setting up what's going on at the resort
right.
for the audience more
right.
than anything.
But, you know, most of the time it's basically... how does the scene start? What happens in it, basically? How does it end?
And what do
any
we need to
dialogue?
Accomplish?
Yeah.
So,
because it's weird, like sometimes you'll have something that happens in the outline, and it'll take the normal amount of time, you know, like in a script, it's like a minute per page or whatever. And if you have a paragraph, it'll be like 30 seconds in the movie. And sometimes you'll have a paragraph of outline, and it'll be like a 5-minute sequence. You just never know.
Yeah, like if it's a fight scene or something, yeah, it can stretch on longer, or some sort of action sequence, anyways. It could be like one bullet point on the page, but then it's like 2 minutes on the screen.
Because actually, like, the first weekend we filmed was kind of like that.
Yeah.
Remember all that stuff we filmed? That was like one paragraph.
Yeah, like you guys are all, like, yeah, walking mm-hmm. through the woods and all that stuff. And
yep.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been my favorite thing, I think, about it is, even though at times it's, you know, like with the heat and stuff, it can be kind of annoying, but being in the possum suit's fun, because you can just kind of, like, go for it all the time, and you don't really have to think about, you know, like, your performance as much, I guess, or whatever, you know, as long as you're, like, thrashing your arms around
yeah.
and being menacing, mm-hmm. you know, it's just kind of, like, kind of fun in that respect.
Yeah,
I
feel bad. I actually did think about putting an exhaust fan system in that head. But it...
Most times it hasn't been that bad. I mean, I must say, like, the worst day I had was the day when we were filming that truck battle.
And that was because of
my motion sickness.
Yeah.
And that was just because there was, like, a sequence we filmed, and it was so weird because, you know, neither of us thought it was going to be that big of a deal, but I wound up having to lay on my back.
It's like four frames on the storyboard.
But I was, like, laying on my back in the back of this truck for probably, like, an hour.
Because there's a part where the possum falls down, and then I'm whacking it with a pipe.
Yeah.
And
so I wound up, like, I kind of get motion sickness and stuff, and I was, like, laying on my back in a moving vehicle, looking up at a nice blue sky, and I think that was, like, really messing me up. So, like, there were a couple times where I thought I might throw up, and I was, like, really quick after the shot, it's like I'd sit up, just kind of take deep breaths and stuff. And
yeah, that was about the only time where I think you actually took the mask off after every shot.
Yeah. Yeah, otherwise...
usually you just leave it on.
Yeah, otherwise I just tough it out. Because, I mean, otherwise the suit's pretty damn comfortable. It's just, you know, like, heat escapes through your head, of course, and, you know, the head doesn't have a lot of venting, where the suit's like a ghillie suit.
Yeah.
So it's meant to kind of breathe and stuff, but...
Yeah, well,
yeah,
I was just going to say that if I would have put in a fan system, it probably would have broke. But the thing is, the lighting still works, and the jaw still... everything on the mask still works. I mean...
yeah, it's held up really well.
Yeah, it's held up a lot better than I thought I would. I guess that's good, but I guess I'm surprised. I figured it would... I mean, the eyeballs maybe have gotten, like, scuffed
scratched
up and
stuff,
but...
yeah.
You know. So I guess now I wish I would have put in a fan system, because maybe it would have worked, because 9 times out of 10, the batteries are always installed.
Yeah.
You know, for the lights, the lit eyeballs, so...
well, we were lucky that it wasn't, like, a super hot summer either that way.
No, if it would have been, like, 2006 or 2007, it would have been a different story.
Yeah. I'd probably have people, like, dumping water on my head every 15 minutes or something.
Yeah, like, if we would have done this, like, 2 years ago, that summer was bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of mosquitoes this summer either, it doesn't seem like we had that much trouble with them.
Yeah, not too bad. Just I remember, like, the first weekend we were filming, there were a bunch of those little, like, gnatty things around. But, yeah, not really mosquitoes. Been kind of lucky that way. Well, yeah, in Port Washington, for people that might not know, it's like Ben actually had to go in on the computer and put clouds in the sky during the end of that movie.
Yeah.
Because there was nothing in the sky.
And we filmed in Port Washington probably at least 5 different days. And it was always perfectly blue skies every time, and it looked lame.
Yeah.
But we're not doing that kind of shit in this movie. It's cause yeah, it just takes too long.
Yeah, overall, we've been pretty lucky. Like, there's only been a couple of times where we've had to push something back. Like, the Wall of Fire, this is probably the 3rd or 4th time it was scheduled to happen.
Well, that was always kind of like a bonus scene, because
yeah.
It's like, okay, maybe this weekend we'll film the Wall of Fire. Maybe this weekend.
And didn't we have to push the truck sequence one time? I think we had it scheduled one weekend, but we pushed it, like, a couple of weeks
yeah,
in advance
it was
or something.
Yeah, it was going to be... it was originally going to be 2 weeks before it was, and it was something like... Mike wanted to hang out with his sister, even though
oh,
I ended up didn't.
That's right, yeah.
And I had to complete that controller for... I Hope They Serve Beer in Hell. Well, that's something I don't think I've talked about in the podcast. I actually made a Xbox 360 custom controller for the movie that's being shot called I Hope They Serve Beer in Hell. And ironically, it costs more than Possumus Man. I made the prop I made. So, fun times. But yeah, that was so.
But I mean, other than that, yeah, it's
and I wouldn't have finished it on time if we hadn't if I hadn't had that Sunday off. Well, I didn't have the Sunday off because I worked, but
yeah. But otherwise, everything's been pretty well on schedule for doing things, and yeah, like the Wall of Fire, it was always kind of a bonus scene, and it was the scene in the movie that we knew from pretty early on was going to be like the pain in the ass one to get done, and now we've got it done, and
right. But then, like, it was like a week ago, and I'm like, "What about that Brad guy who always wanted to flip a car for us?"
So yeah.
Like, and you're like, "Oh yeah," and then
so I got a hold of him, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I'll do that." And he's like, "Hey, I've got this old piece of crap Bronco with like bullet holes in it and everything."
It was
and
awesome.
And it's like, "Well, that sounds perfect." And then
oh, that's right. I'm gonna have to find a Bronco model or something now.
Oh yeah. And then he even had a couple of friends that were gun aficionados or whatever, so they got to be in as shooters in that sequence. So it just kind of all fell together.
Yeah, that was definitely the stuff we did on Saturday was definitely some kind of a record.
Yeah.
And another thing I have this movie is, I mean, this movie must have more gunfire than any of my previous movies, and it probably has more gunfire than all my other movies put together now.
Yeah, after
yeah, once
Saturday.
Yeah, once you see this scene where the possum is being shot up, it's ridiculous. But awesome.
Yes. Awesome possum.
Well, I have this thing where there's just not enough rampant gunfire in movies anymore.
No.
So this movie.
Well,
is,
nothing even gets shot in movies anymore, but that's a whole other topic.
Yeah. So this movie, we're like, you know what? let's bring the 80s back.
Yeah.
So, fun times. All right, well, we've gone over, but yeah, it was fun talking about Possumus Man to our random audience. You know, on my computer, everything is just PM2. It doesn't actually say...
Yes.
Because if it was PW, again, I'd
get confused.
All right, well, maybe we might be kind of doing a new format for our podcast, and we're going to try to get back to every other week. Since the movie's getting done, it should be easier to do. So, yeah, I guess we'll talk to you next time.
Adios.
Watch out for giant possums.